everyone. Right, a special welcome this morning to Becky Hembry from BMS World Mission in Didcot. Thank you very much for being here. And also a warm welcome to our friends from Rockingham Road. It's lovely to see you here today with us. And for 1 week only, we have Nick on guitar.
I think my transmission was for 1 week.
Right, our notices this week, 7:30 house group on Zoom. It's the Sunday morning Zoom link. So please join us if you can. If you want the link sending through again, please let us know. This week it's on the blind beggar, so please join us for that. Wednesday, 10 a.m, coffee morning within the church. Next week, our service is being taken by Jane Colcott from the Ketchum Food Bank. She will have a collecting tub here, so if anybody would like to donate, then you can. And next week is the last day for the October newsletter. Harvest Festival on the 24th, donations for Christian Aid. Any produce will be sold off in aid of Christian Aid. And the service will be followed by a bring and share lunch. So there's a list in the foyer, so please write down what you'd like to bring with you. Oh, there's not a list in the foyer. There will be a list in the foyer. Eventually. And I've been asked to just let you know, the greatest show at Geddington Village Hall, that's on Wednesday the 4th of October to Saturday the 7th of October. We'll pop it on the notice board, anybody who'd like to go along. Right, communion's postponed next week. So, right, and now we begin our morning worship with Psalm 100, a psalm for giving grateful praise. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name, for the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Our first hymn will be How Great Thou Art.
Oh, So let us pray. Loving Lord God, wonderful Creator, eternal Father, fabulous Saviour, what a privilege it is to come and worship you this morning. What a privilege it is to have these beautiful buildings to worship you in, designed so we could sing your praise and hear your word. What a privilege it is to have the freedom to come here without fear. What a privilege it is for those of us who've made it to have the health and the strength to come this morning. And Father God, we want to thank you for every single blessing you give us in our lives. So many that we take for granted. And yet you continue to bless us, second by second, moment by moment, with your amazing provision for us. Lord, we thank you for this wonderful world that we're in. We thank you for the incredible beauty. We thank you for its variety of landscapes and flora and fauna. And we thank you that you created us, somehow extra to creation, created us not just fearfully and wonderfully made in our physical bodies, but created us to have relationship with you. And Lord, we've ruined that relationship so many times and in so many ways by our own personal pride and rebellion, where we metaphorically take the apple we've been told to leave alone. We've broken that relationship in our community relations, where groups and factions and tribes work against each other, pull in on themselves, and cause conflict. And we've broken that relationship in the way we've treated your planet. And whilst we enjoy the hot weather at the moment, we recognise it as a symptom of a deep malaise in our planet. And we are responsible. So, Lord God, we come in penitence. We come in confession to say that we have sinned, that it is our fault, our own most grievous fault. And we are sorry. We repent of the sins that break our relationships with our neighbours and make us disobey you. We repent of our sins that foster resentment and discord between communities. And we repent of our sins where we have trashed your planet, taken things for granted, and not taken the hard decisions to live a more sustainable life. Lord, you are the most incredible God. Any one of us in your position would have given up and gone home long ago. But you are the same God, whose nature is always to have mercy, and who is eternally faithful to us, even when we are faithless, because that is your character. And it is on that faithfulness that we depend. So thank you, Lord God, for your forgiveness. Thank you for your opportunity to live again the principles of the kingdom and the life of the gospel. Thank you for freeing us from our guilt and sin and for blessing us with new life. There is none like you, Lord God. We worship and adore you. Amen.
Our next song.
You don't do books, do you? Our next song is From the Sun's Rising to Unto the Sun's Setting. Jesus our Lord shall be great in the earth.
Thank you. phone reminded me that I'm on the BMS emergency phone. If this calls in the middle of the service, I will have to take it. So just be aware. Good morning. I'm going to stand slightly to the side because I am obviously not as tall as whoever built this lectern. Good morning. My name is Becky. It's a privilege to be here this morning. I work for BMS World Mission. And I was joking with my colleagues that this is like the holy grail of BMS speaking engagements, to come to the church that is named after our founder in the place that he came from. So it's a real privilege to be here. BMS has been around since 1792, but I've only had the joy of working them for 21 years. I've done various things in that time. If you want to click onto the next slide, you get to see some of the fun things I've done. I spent 6 months in India and 4 years in Afghanistan with BMS, and my current role is Head of Mission Personnel Operations, which basically means I oversee the recruitment and care of all our mission workers. And today I'm basically here to share with you a bit about BMS, who we are, the kind of things we do, and to encourage you to continue supporting us however you feel able to. If you want to click on. So the highest goal of all we do is bringing people to faith in our Lord Jesus Christ and helping people experience the abundant life that Jesus can provide. And we've been doing that, like I say, for more than 230 years. It started with William Carey. The name may be familiar. And he came from Kettering. And he went to India to tell people about Jesus. And now we work in over 30 countries around the world. We're primarily funded by UK Baptist churches who give towards the work and support us through giving, prayer, and sending people. If you want to click onto the next slide, there's a lovely map of the world that shows these are the places where we have work. Sometimes that's sending people from the UK, sometimes it's sending people from other countries, and sometimes that's supporting local people to do the work that they're doing to show God's transformation in their own communities. As you'll see, there's a diverse range from Peru to France and from Mozambique to Afghanistan and beyond. And dropping everything. We work in three main areas of work. So if you want to click for the next one. We have these three areas, which we describe as heart for the gospel, hope for the world, and help for the journey. Heart for the gospel is working with people who have never heard about Jesus before, telling people about him, reaching the least evangelized. These are places where less than 5% of the population are Christian. Hope for the world is about helping people with practical needs. That might be education or livelihood development or healthcare. And we do this in some of the world's poorest countries. And help for the journey. More people than ever find themselves displaced by war, natural disasters, or persecution. And we are working with people in some of those countries where people are fleeing to help people stay, but also in transit countries where people are journeying through. If you want to click to the next page. So the church here in Kettering has a few connections with some of our mission personnel. The first are Witt and Helen Bundeken. Witt and Helen originally from that area, and they now live in Thailand, where they are church planting in a place called Uttaradit. They work with their local community, meeting the needs there. And they've planted a church, which now has about 15 members. They lead church services. They encourage local people to lead the church too. They teach English and meet with people going to university or who are young professionals who need English for their work and encourage them in that. They work with students in a variety of contexts, and they have started a sports ministry, which includes trying to find a piece of land to build a nice sports pitch so people can play football safely, and to encourage people to spend time with one another and take that opportunity to share Jesus. We will pray for them in a minute, and we will pray some of these things for them. But they're really excited that next week, next Sunday, they will be holding a baptism service with several people getting baptized next weekend. So we'll pray for them in a moment. As a congregation, you support Mark and Andrea Hotchkin, and they live in a place called Bardai in the north of Chad, and they really kindly sent a video to share with you this morning. So we're going to watch that now.
Morning to you on a beautiful sunny morning from Wakefield, where the sky is nearly as blue as that in Bardai. Andrew will also be joining us shortly from London, and we're going to be look at what our job working for justice looks like in the context of the hospital in Bardai. Let justice roll on like a river, and righteousness like a never-ending stream. In this picture, you can see the path that we walk down each day, down a steep, rocky slope, onto the valley floor, across the sand, through the palm trees, and to the hospital. That flat, sandy floor is what's called a wadi. A wadi is a dried-up riverbed that should flood from time to time, bringing life-giving water. But we've been there for 7 years now. We've never seen this wadi full of water yet. So over to Andrea, who'll give us the first example of working for justice in Chad.
Bardai women celebrating Women's Day in Chad. They're celebrating the right of Chadian women to education, and quite a number of girls in Bardai are educated up to A-level standard, and they help at the hospital, in the laboratory, in the outpatients, and in the pharmacy. But very often they leave to get married, and women do marry at quite a young age. And this is where we start to see a lot of injustice in Chad. The maternal mortality rate in Chad is 1 in 100, 1.2%, the same as it was in Guinea when we went there in 1992. It hasn't changed in the 13 years we've been in Chad. And although things have improved in Guinea, we're looking at something which is really very scary and difficult for women. In the UK, it's 0.01%, 100 times less. So women get pregnant and they die because of obstructed labour or because of bleeding. And since we've been in Bardai, we've been able to help with both those things. We now offer a cesarean section service, and we now offer a laboratory service, which is much more functional. And if there is bleeding, we can do blood transfusion. But you may say, that sounds good, Andrea, but what happens when you and Mark are not there? And this is where we have a story to tell you. Well, here's the good news bit of our story. You can see a lady here giving thanks at church for her baby alongside her husband. And this baby was born by cesarean section. And that's just amazing, because we weren't there in Bardai. We heard news that a cesarean had been done, and we discovered that it was Dr. Hassan who had done it. He has undergone training by the government, which was supposed to last 6 months, lasted 9 months. He eventually came back to Bardai after 2 years, which seems a long time, but fortunately it was just in time for this lady to have her baby. And him, Ezekiel. He is rather big, as you can see, and that was one of the problems. And he is, however, very healthy, and you can see beside him his mum celebrating in church, praising God, because she is so grateful for the fact that she has been able to have a cesarean right near to where she lives. Since this cesarean section, I've done other cesareans with Dr. Hassan, and he's clearly quite capable of doing them, though I think he found the first one rather nerve-wracking. And also it seems that Dr. Abdul Karim is now becoming capable as well. So we're actually building a service that's going to function and save lives for the women who are living in Bardai. Because there's only one other alternative. Yes, this would have been the alternative. Travelling across the desert, 2 days to the nearest hospital, where there may or may not have been a doctor to do a cesarean. She may have survived, but the baby most certainly wouldn't have done. And can you imagine travelling across the desert hopefully in one of these cars, but even possibly in a big lorry like this, an incredible possibility which we can't even imagine what it would be like. So we are really grateful that between us and the government, we've been able to set up now a service in Bardai Hospital to do cesarean sections.
I actually found this lorry parked outside the hospital one day. And when I heard that one of my patients who'd been shot in the leg, was fractured, badly infected, was actually on top of this truck and planning to travel 3 days to a hospital, I felt I had to go up and check that he was doing it of his own free will. So I climbed up onto the roof of the truck and spoke with him and explained to him the risk that he was taking to his life and to his leg. But he said, how could I stay at a hospital which doesn't even take x-rays? And so it was a real step forward when in December Onazim came up in order to install the equipment that had been there since 2012 unused, and also to install a suite of x-ray equipment supplied by Bardai, which is digital sets, readers, a computer and a printer. Much easier to use than a conventional darkroom, and it fantastic results. In fact, so far 260 people have had their x-rays taken, and that's an awful lot of journeys which have been avoided. But I'm not telling that story because you've heard that all before. Here's the story which is more important for today. And here we have Najid. Now, Najid is a nurse who's been trained to run the x-ray department, and he came to Bardai in 2019 when he was employed as a temporary worker on a salary of about £100 a month. He was actually replacing government workers who should have been there, who were being paid £225 a month. There's some injustice in that. Also, they got their salary even when not present, and he only got his salary when he was there. Despite that, he worked well for a year. And at the end of that year, the Director of Health came up with some nurses from N'Djamena. These were government nurses, and they no longer needed Naji, nor his two colleagues, and they were given redundancy, or at least sacked, because they were given no notice and no redundancy pay. And so Najid went back to N'Djamena, but we kept in touch with him. And when we needed somebody reliable who would be willing to stay in Bardai and work the x-ray equipment, we initially thought of a local person, but no one suitable was there. And so Najid agreed to come up. And he was told that he would get an improved salary of about £150 a month. 10% of the receipts that were taken for the x-rays, which would make him have a salary more or less in line with the other nurses. And as well as that, he'll be entitled to a contract and 2 months paid holiday every year. And so he came up, received some training, but when it came to receiving his salary, it was still £100. I had a word with the hospital director, and he said, oh, it's just temporary, but that just temporary continued through January, February, March, April, May, and June. And I'd been regularly saying that this wasn't good, but by June I was getting seriously worried, because I thought that Najid would become discouraged, and once I left, that he was likely to leave, there'd be either no x-ray department, it would be run by people who weren't trained to use it. And so I spoke seriously once again to Dr. Abdul Karim, and this time he understood. He managed to get a contract together. It was signed. Najid got some of his back pay, and that was just 2 days before I left. Sometimes we have to work so that just.
Here you can see the riverbed, this time filled with water. Let justice roll on like a river. That's what we pray for Bardai, for your community in Kettering, for all the world. Please pray with us for our return to Chad on the 13th of September, that we'll be able to continue with the good relationships that we have with the senior staff at the hospital, and that will enable us to, we hope this year, gain more staff at the hospital, amongst many other things. We do, however, need prayer for peace and security in the region. There have been some incursions recently in northern Chad, and we need to pray for security of Bardai. But we also need to pray for the rest of Chad. The transitional government is still holding power, and this means that the situation is fairly unstable until we hope for actual elections, democratic elections, which have been promised to take place by October 24, so not just yet. And of course, pray for God's justice to roll on like a river in our lives, in all our towns, and in the whole world. Thank you for all your support. Thank you for the way in which you pray for us and are constantly interested in what we are doing.
Mark and Andrea asked me to share that their return to Chad has actually been delayed, as Mark has a health problem which is requiring some further investigation as an outpatient. They're going to send out a special Bardai brief, their prayer newsletter, shortly, so that you will be informed about what's going on. Just before we pray, I just wanted to share that I've brought with me a few magazines. So a magazine, the prayer guide, and there's a sign up if you want to receive the magazine. This is a free magazine which gives you lots more information about what BMS is doing around the world. It comes out quarterly and you can have it delivered straight to your door. There are some copies here, so feel free to take those. And if you want to sign up to get it regularly, just fill in this little card and either give it to me today or send it back. It's got a free post thing on the back. Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you for your world and for the beauty of your creation. We pray today for places and people around the world suffering because we have not taken care of it. We pray for those in Europe who are still affected by heat waves and wildfires, that they would quickly be brought under control. We particularly pray today for those in Marrakesh in Morocco who have lost their loved ones, their homes, and their livelihoods in the earthquake there. Lord, we pray for the rescue effort as it continues, and as the numbers who have died increase, we pray that you, the people there, would know your presence and your provision at this time. We pray for the situation in Ukraine and Russia. Lord, we pray that a way forward will be found and that a swift and peaceful resolution to the conflict can be implemented. Lord, we thank you for Wit and Helen Bundekin and their work in Thailand. We pray for their English classes. We pray for the relationships that they build with those people, that they would be able to shine your light in that place. Lord, we pray for the football ministry that is beginning and the preparation of the sports ground. Lord, we just pray that you would provide for that project. Lord, we thank you for the church in Uttaradit, and we particularly pray for those new Christians getting baptised next week. Lord, we thank you for them. We thank you that they are willing to turn their back on their old ways of living to follow you. And Lord, we pray that you would encourage them and sustain them in this week and in the weeks that lie ahead. Lord, we pray for those leading the church in Thailand who are seeking sustainable livelihoods to enable them to minister as well as provide for their families, Lord. Just pray that those creative ideas would come to fruition and that they would be able to serve you. Lord, we pray for Mark and Andrea, and we thank you for them and their work in Bardai. We thank you for the provision of the x-ray in that hospital, and we thank you for Najid as well. Lord, we thank you that his contract came through and that you have provided a good worker to facilitate x-rays in that place. Lord, we pray for continued provision of regular and committed staff in that remote part of Chad. Lord, we pray that the right people would be sent there by the government, and they would be committed to serving the people of Bardai in that hospital. Lord, we thank you that Dr. Hassam and Dr. Abdul Karim are able to perform cesareans, and we thank you for what this means for the women of Bardai. Lord, we pray that you would have your hand upon women in Chad, that you would keep them safe, and that they would be able to have good pregnancies and childbirths, and that that mortality rate would decrease. Lord, we pray for peace and security in Chad. Lord, you know all the complications of that place, but Lord, we pray that peace would come and a good government would be installed. And Lord, this week we pray for Mark's health. We pray that those tests would come back quickly and nothing serious is wrong. And Lord, that they would be able to return to Chad quickly and in your time. Lord, we pray for our world. Help us to be your light in dark places and to bring hope in difficult situations so that we might glorify you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. Morning, I have a reading for you. Jesus calms the storm. One day Jesus said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side of the lake." So they got into a boat and set out. As they sailed, he fell asleep. A squall came down on the lake so that the boat was being swamped and they were in great danger. The disciples went and woke him, saying, "Master, Master, we're going to drown." He got up and rebuked the wind and the raging waters. The storm subsided and all was calm. "Where's your faith?" he asked his disciples. In fear and amazement, they asked one another, "Who is this? He commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him." Okay, Jesus restores a demon-possessed man. They sailed to the region of the Gerasenes, which is across the lake from Galilee. When Jesus stepped ashore, he was met by a demon-possessed man from the town. For a long time, this man had not worn clothes or lived in a house, but had lived in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell at his feet, shouting at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, don't torture me." For Jesus had commanded the impure spirit to come out of the man. Many times it had seized him, and though he was chained hand and foot and kept under guard, he had broken his chains and had been driven by the demon into solitary places. Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "Legion," he replied, because many demons had gone into him, and they begged Jesus repeatedly not to order them to go into the abyss. A large herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside. The demons begged Jesus to let them go into the pigs, and he gave them permission. When the demons came out of the man, they went into the pigs, and the herd rushed to the steep bank into the lake and drowned. When those tending the pigs saw what had happened, they ran off and reported this in the town and countryside. And the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone out sitting at Jesus' feet, dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Those who had seen him told the people how the demon-possessed man had been cured. Then all the people of the region of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them because they were overcome with fear. So he got into the boat and left. The man from whom the demons had gone out begged to go with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return home and tell how much God has done for you." So the man went away and told all over the town how much Jesus had done for him. This is the word of the Lord.
Before we pray for people in their fellowships, I'd just like to welcome you from the Secretary of the Church, from both Rocking Road and Carey, and Fuller are here as well. Nice to see you all. And Martin comments to me earlier on how nice it is to see the singing, and the doors are open and the windows are open, so the singing can be heard all up King Street and Nelson Street. So how good is that? So welcome anyway. We're going to pray in a moment, but just a little update on Sheila Farah. I had a message from Andy Toseland. Apparently, she'd like to be able to say Sheila was making progress, but although she was out of bed yesterday, which is progress, her state of mind is generally not good. She's negative and still very unwell and not really progressing. So we'll pray for Sheila in a few minutes, but if you can remember Sheila during the week, that would be good. We're also going to pray for some of the fellowship at Rocking Road. We're going to pray for Jen, for Pauline, for Jill, for Mark, and for Maria. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we pray this morning for those that are in hospital. Particularly we pray for Sheila Farah, who's very unwell in Ketchum Hospital. Just we pray that you'll let her know that you are with her. You are walking the path with her. And place your healing hand upon her. And take Sheila down the road that you know is right for her. We just pray that you'll be with the family for Andy. And particularly with Iris, who is in a home in Ketchum and can't get to see Sheila. They can't see each other. As you know, they're twins and they sort of know each other, but they can't see each other. So just be with them this morning and the rest of the family. We also pray this morning for Jen Woolley, who's unwell, and we pray for Pauline and Jill Shipton this morning, and for Mark Jones. And we also want to pray for Maria. Although he's here this morning, still needs our prayers and your guidance this morning. I'd like to pray for those other people that are in homes, those that can't get here this morning, that love to be here but just cannot be here, just cannot get here because they're too unwell to be able to get. We also pray for those on holiday. We have a few of the congregations that are on holiday. Just pray that they will come back refreshed and raring to go to spread the word, your word, to everybody in Ketchum, to the community, we pray. We also pray for the fellowships of the Baptist churches in Ketchum. In this time of interregnum for all three churches, for the deacons that are looking towards the future, we pray as the three churches work together and work together in preaching your word to the people of Ketchum, and pray that the work together will continue into the future. We pray for the members of the three congregations as they spread the gospel in Ketchum. We particularly pray for the street pastors who are ministered to the town and the town centre, particularly on a Saturday night. Just be with them every Saturday night as they pastor to the people that are out on the streets, and let them know that there is somebody out there who does care for them. We just ask this in your prayers today. Amen.
Yeah. Bye. I mean, you can sing if you want. Okay. If you want to click on the first slide. So I was asked to share with you this morning Mission Reflection, and the passage that was read is one that I have thought about a lot over the years. I just want to look with you today about what this passage says about mission and how Jesus is at work both then but also today. So when I read this passage, the first thing that springs to mind is that mission can be dangerous. Jesus and his disciples get in a boat and go out on a lake in the middle of a storm. This does not seem to be the wisest thing to do. And sometimes mission looks like that from the outside. Mark and Andrew Hotchkin live in a place with rebel activity. And you know Mark and Andrea, and you all know that often the people they are treating are people who've been wounded in fighting with gunshots or stab wounds or different kind of violence that comes from being in that unstable place. God called me to go and live in Afghanistan, not exactly a place known for peace and stability. Mission can take us out of our comfort zone. God takes us into places we have never been before, to do things we may never have done before. But what it does do is enable us to trust and rely on God, who is with you through it all. The second part of this story, we'll come on to it a little bit later, but basically the disciples and Jesus have got in a boat and gone to the other side of Galilee, and they meet this man who is naked and running around a graveyard, a place that people wouldn't want to hang out. But when they get there, Jesus gives this man dignity. Jesus not only restores his health, but restores his sense of worth. He is sitting at Jesus's feet with clothes on completely in his right mind. The work that BMS does in some of the places around the world can also give dignity to people, rather than just giving people money and expecting them to be grateful for it. What BMS tries to do is work with local communities to solve their own issues and to work together as a community. And sometimes that involves us sending people to help with some expertise, and sometimes that involves sending a bit of money to start maybe a small project or a livelihood. But lots of places around the world, what we're doing is enabling people to put to have that dignity, to be able to change their communities for the better together. And how we honour other people's experiences, how we listen to other people, how we understand their experience can also bring dignity to others. Immediately after this, Jesus... immediately after this, Jesus returns to the other side of the lake, and then he sends out his disciples. The disciples have seen Jesus at work and how he treats people and are sent out to do the same. He develops his disciples by showing them a way to behave. When I was in India, I had the very brief privilege of working with a group of nuns called the Little Sisters of the Poor, who basically ran a nursing home for elderly people. Now, bearing in mind, most of the nuns were probably in their 70s or over. The people that they were looking after were older than that. But the ethos of the home was that everyone has something to bring and everybody has dignity. So even the people who were in their beds and unable to get out were given the job of rolling napkins to put out at the dinner table for the rest of the community. Those that were more able were asked to do washing up or to do veg prep or to do all kinds of things. And working in this community just showed me how we can give dignity to people, whatever their circumstance and whatever situation they find themselves in. They can bring something to our community. When I left Afghanistan, I wrote a list of things that I felt God had taught me while I was there, and how I didn't want to forget. And so I'm going to share some of them now. When I read back on them this week, some of them were a bit strange. So I'm not going to share all of them, but I will share some. I didn't want to forget what it means to rely on God and to feel like there is nowhere else to go. There were at points in Afghanistan, and actually since I've returned to the UK, where I felt like, I don't know what to do in this situation. Only you do, God. And sometimes he gave a very clear answer. And sometimes it just knowing that God was there while you were going through it was what was there. I don't want to forget that when we live in the UK, we have freedom to worship. When Keith shared about the singing, I was like, yes, because singing, I lived in Afghanistan for 4 years where I was not allowed to sing very loudly at all. If we were ever allowed to sing as a community of Christians, it was no more than 12 people in a room and we had to like really whisper. So when I get to come to a church like this where we're all singing rousingly, I'm like, yes, this is so exciting. Freedom to worship is a privilege. We get to talk about God. Some places in the world, people don't talk about God at all, and they're some of the places that we work. But also, in lots of places around the world, people talk about God a lot more than we do. In Afghanistan, every interaction with somebody finishes with the phrase, Inshallah, if God wills. And their understanding of God might be a bit different to mine, but God is in every conversation. And I think sometimes here in the UK, we can be a little bit frightened of saying we believe in Jesus, or that we go to church, or even to just say, well, I can pray for you in that situation. And sometimes it just takes being a little bit brave and saying, would it be okay to pray for you? You don't have to do it there and then. You can take it away and do it at home. But no, opening those conversations, all of that is mission. I also did things like change my lifestyle a little bit. The clothes I wear are a bit different from when I went, before I went to Afghanistan, till after. Sometimes I get a bit shocked still about how short people's shorts are in the UK. The way I do shopping, the way I do recycling, things like that, you get a wider awareness of how those choices that you make here affect people in different places around the world. Taking part in mission is stepping out of our comfort zone sometimes and trusting God, and we can learn so much more from it than we can give. If we want to click on to the next slide. Mission is far-reaching and local. The Bindikins, Whit and Helen, and Hodgkins, Mark and Andrea, have been called by God to leave the UK and go and live somewhere else. But that isn't true for everyone. And in this story, Jesus tells the man that he has healed to stay where he is. God might call us to faraway places, and if you think that's you, chat to me at the end, because that's my job, recruiting people to go to faraway places. That will make my day. But for lots of people, it is to be called to where we are, to be community, to be friends with our neighbours, to know who they are, to help them in their everyday lives. With our friends, with our family. I think in the pandemic, we saw that a lot, didn't we? Where communities came together and helped each other, and neighbours looked out for one another. And even if it was just chatting to people on the doorstep, a few metres away, we saw a growth in community. And that's what God calls us to be community. And as a community here in Kettering, what does it mean to share Jesus where you are and to share his love? Photos that you've seen are of Jordan, where actually a few months ago I happened to go on holiday, and this happens to be the place where that man that Jesus healed came from. So Jesus went to, it's called different things in different versions of the Bible, but the land of the Gadarenes, which is where these pictures are from. The city is now ruined after an earthquake, but the area was had a believing presence since the time of that man being healed until the earthquake, which I think was like in the 1300s. So that impact of that single conversation with Jesus has had long-lasting effects. There is a story from Afghanistan. So in the 90s, Afghanistan was under the rule of the Mujahideen, which were basically a bunch of, some of them were in power before the Taliban overthrew recently. They were a bunch of kind of tribal leaders who ran Afghanistan in a kind of a tribal way, and it was where the first Taliban were trying to overthrow them, first set of Taliban government. So there was quite a lot of rocketing of Kabul. So it was quite common that a rocket attack would happen. What they say about rocketing is the safest place is to be where they're trying to land the rocket, because it never lands there. And so lots of people had their houses destroyed. And there were some missionaries there, and there were two ladies living in Kabul, and their neighbour's house was destroyed by rocketing, and they were helping their neighbours sort through the rubble, collect their possessions. Everyone was fine, but they were helping them sort through the things. Fast forward 20 years later, that one of those ladies was in a Christian conference in the States, which was about supporting Afghan believers, and there was an Afghan believer there who gave his testimony that said he became a Christian because he watched his neighbor's house be rocketed, and then these two older Christian ladies, white ladies, help the neighbours go through their belongings. He didn't know who they were, he didn't know anything about them, but he wanted to know about why these white ladies were in Afghanistan, and his mother said to him, oh, well, they're Christians. And so he looked up what being a Christian meant, and he became a Christian. And that lady never knew that, All she thought was she was helping her neighbours. She did not realise her simple action had the impact on somebody else. Mission can sometimes feel like a big effort, and we don't really know what it's going to do. And Jesus went all the way to one side of the lake for this one man, and immediately after this, returns to the other side of the lake without doing anything other than heal this one man. But if it has touched one person, it is worth it. But we also don't know the long-lasting impact that that has on others. I just want to pray for us as we think about that now. Lord, we do thank you that your mission is surprising, that it is far-reaching and it is local and it is so much more. And Lord, I pray for each of us that you would be showing us what our mission is, where you are calling us to be, where we are being asked to be your salt and your light in our communities. Lord, I pray that as we go from here today, that we would be able to share your love with others around us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Bodies, our souls, our spirits, in all we love and all we learn, in all we plan and in all we do, to offer our labours, our pleasures and our sorrows to you, to work through them for your kingdom, to live as those who are not their own, but bought with your blood and fed with your body, from the time of our birth until forever. In Jesus' name, amen.